Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Paradigm Shifters, those people that are making a difference in the collective on our planet at this time. And tonight's guest is really exciting for me, Dr. Valerie Hunt. And Dr. Hunt has been scientifically proving subtle energy fields and making huge connections between energy and psychology and health since the early 50s. And I'm just honored that you're on the show with us today, Dr. Hunt. Welcome.
Thanks, my dear.
And you have something wonderful to tell us at the beginning, and then I'm going to ask you some questions. So you go ahead and talk about what your original research or what you're doing right now.
Yeah, and what I'm doing next. How about that?
That'd be great.
Let me fasten your seatbelts. You're ready for a fast ride.
Yay, we like that.
I'm a hardcore scientist.
You bet.
And many of the people you've had on your show have been applied scientists, good ones.
Mm-hmm.
They've helped you to understand the paradigms. And we haven't had good information, except the information that came from ancient wisdom and from those of you who can tap into energy fields. And so that's where our facts have come from. I'm going to show you some new facts that may shake up your paradigms. And it's up to you.
I'm up for a shake-up.
I think your people are, too.
I think my listeners are pretty good at paradigm shake-up.
Let me tell you a little bit about my history. I was a mystical child, just like you,
mm-hmm.
Monica. I had two near-death experiences when I was age 3, and I became autistic.
Oh, wow.
You'd never know that by my speaking now.
No.
But the way I got out of it was become an intellectual.
Hmm.
And I've been a professor at 3 major universities, Columbia, University of Iowa, and I retired from UCLA.
Hmm.
And about when I was about 40, 45, the mystical part of me started coming through. Now, my background is neurophysiology, and that's pretty hardcore stuff.
Mm-hmm, really?
It's not very mystical. And as it came through, I didn't know what to do with it. Because here I am, an intellectual, explaining all these facts of we know them in science. And so I went out and sought some help. I went to India. I sought gurus. And I had a problem. Because I didn't have a problem in thinking about what they said, but I had a problem in understanding what they were talking about. And I kept asking, why? How come? Can you give me some more facts? And so that's what started me on my path of studying energy fields. And I fell into it. And so paradigms are what we know about us. And I'm going to tell us some new things that we have learned through energy fields about us and about levels of truth. Now, all of our paradigms are based upon truths. Facts as we know them. And these facts have come from numerous places, not basically scientific, because science hadn't been ready for us.
That's true.
It hadn't been ready. But let me just go run down and tell you some things we know now. And then I'll tell you how we know them. And then I'll talk about aging and anything else you want to talk about.
Okay.
I'm talking about levels of truth.
Okay.
We have learned quite recently that life doesn't exist without energy. People have said it's a chemical reaction. You have all of this chemical things happening, but you have to have a spark, which is energy, to bring life. So we're talking about life as an active energy phenomenon.
Mm.
And evolution is what we do with that active energy level. So many people speak about consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go up in consciousness. You know, that's probably one of the bad things that's happening to us now. We're going up in consciousness rather than extending our consciousness.
Hmm.
What's happening, Veronica, is cancer.
Ah.
Cancer is unbalanced energy. Cancer people are nice, sweet, loving, gentle people who are way up there and are not oriented to the earth. don't bring energy in through the bottom of their body, don't have any feeling about tissue. I have worked with them and worked with them, and I'm going to tell you some things about cancer. The major thing we have to do with cancer people is not chemo and radiation. It's changing the field that brought on the cancer. We talk about healing. Healing, we talk about healers, and there's some very good ones in the world, and goodness, they have brought so much information and so much help to people. But actually, it's the person who heals himself.
Right, I know that, actually.
You do know that, I know. And unless we can get more participation on the people's part, we put in the stopgap. The stopgap means temporary. It doesn't mean curing.
Mm-hmm.
It means handling the problem temporarily. And then disease. I'm going to talk about disease later on. Energy fields and disease. Do you know that we can predict the kind of disease you're going to get if you get under stress?
Really? How?
Based upon your field.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm going to tell you about that. And then, emotions. In our culture, the paradigm of emotions is learn to control them rather than learn to experience them. Know where they came from, as you and I have both done.
Right.
And be able to change the badness of those emotions and allow the goodness to come through. Spirituality. So many books written on spirituality. Even some of the scientists now are talking about the God energy.
That's pretty exciting.
Well, it is in a way, but they're not looking at it in the right way, I'll tell you. Do you realize that when the body vibrates at a certain level, it has a spiritual experience, even though it's never had any religion, it's never had any training. It has a profound experience that there's something bigger than I am. If we've been trained, we may call it a God. We may call it Jesus Christ. If we're a Christian, we can call it all kinds of things, but it's the level of vibration of the individual. Now, churches have done some rather bad things here because they try to make it intellectual, and it's not. It's experiential. It's very profound. And the mind is one of my big ones. Do you realize we really don't know what the mind is?
Right.
I know that Lee Gerber has put the mind in the brain, and he's done some very interesting things with the pattern of the mind and the brain. But since Hippocrates, we've been working on the mind. I've just written a new book. It'll be out in 6 weeks. I hope your people will enjoy it.
Good. What's it called?
It's called Uncork Your Consciousness. You like that one?
I like that.
It is a conversational book. It's not my hardcore science book, but it has profound things in it. And it has many of the experiences that I have had in my life around the world in which I had to think through and get more information than what existed in the paradigms that were around me. So, my topic is aging. I'm 91 plus in years. That's a long time for living.
It is, isn't it? It's been a rich life, eh?
And I'm healthy.
Good.
I'm happy. According to my friends, I look about 60.
Great.
And intellectually, I'm brighter than I ever was. Now, how can we count for that? I want to talk about aging just briefly. Everything that occupies space, which is a rock, a piece of wood, a plant, or a living thing, a human, seems to go downhill from birth. When it first starts, it's strong. When it grows and it gets its prime state, after that, it's sort of downhill. And that's what we think about aging. But you know, the exciting thing is, the physics found that if you more energy, compatible energy, into living and dynamic things, they don't age. So aging is a problem of energy. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's wonderful. That's good news, actually.
And it's great news.
Yeah.
Now, dense things, like rocks and boards, they age more slowly, but they don't live very dynamically.
Mm-hmm.
We age faster. We disintegrate faster than rocks and things like that. But until we start improving it by making compatible energy our life. And that's why I'm talking about energy fields. Now, I want to say just a few things about energy because it's talked about so grossly.
Yes, it is.
We react to energy. There are three things that happen. We react. If the sun is too bright, if the noise is too loud, we have a spontaneous reaction, and that's called react. And then if there are things that are fairly compatible, such as hydrogen and oxygen, they come together and they interact, and they cause water. Or if we get with friends, we interact. And we blend, and we get better. But the thing I'm interested in is transacting.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm.
Because living things select. They don't just react. They don't just interact. That's more passive. They transact. Transaction means they select things. They select out of all the possible energies that are out there. They select the ones that they think are the best for them. And that takes me to energy fields, where I started in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
That makes 48 years I've been studying energy fields. And I kind of fell upon this, honey.
Huh.
I fell upon it because it was during the time of the satellites, astronauts going around the world,
mm-hmm.
where they ever went to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some equipment that was telemetered, meaning they took their heart rate and their blood pressure and all those things from way up in the sky and sent it on a radio wave down to America, down to the land. So they monitored them. And guess what? I thought that was such a good idea. I got some of that equipment from NASA. I didn't know how I was going to use it, but I got it. And let me talk just a little bit about physics, which is our basic scientific background, physics and chemistry. And physics throughout much of the last century has been mechanical physics, and then it became atom physics. Everything that existed had atoms. And an atom had an electron, and a proton, and a nucleus. And the electron spun around the atom, the nucleus, and sent off energy. So a living thing, all things that exist in space, send off energy. Did you ever put your hand up against a cactus or near a cactus?
Oh, yes.
Isn't that fun? As compared to near a fern?
Oh, yeah, actually it is, yeah.
It's very different. I one time had a bunch of students, took them out in the fields to a place, had all kinds of trees. I blindfolded them and made them sit them back to a tree, and they didn't know what that tree was. And pretty soon they told me the energy of the tree.
Excellent.
Whether it took them straight up, or whether it went up and spilled around them. So when physics came and found fields, I got real excited. Now, a field is not a mass. It's not electrons and protons. It doesn't occupy space, except it's an energy. You like that one?
Yeah, I do, actually.
And, honey, there's a new word I just love. I'm going to give it to your people. It's called unparticles.
Unparticles?
Unparticles. Now, if you have a particle, you got a mass. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have a particle, you can have energy, and our physicists have just found some of them. There's 8 or 10 of them now that are so excited about unparticles.
Hmm.
They found that when they got rid of all the particles, there was still energy.
Hmm.
How do you like that? And that's what we've been feeling as healers and clairvoyants for years.
But they're just deciding to describe it now.
Hmm. Well, they found it out now. They just caught up with us. See?
That's great.
But it's good because the energy of thought, the energy of consciousness, the energy of health, the energy of all these things we talk about has to do with a field. And healers work on the field of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And those of you who are predictors, you read the thoughts of people. It's antiparticle. It's fields of energy. You with me?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, boy, this makes it big, doesn't it?
It does.
But the interesting thing is that in the human energy field, each one of us have a different one. We have one that's human, yes, it's different than the rocks field. But each one of us programs our field differently. Now, those of us who work with fields and are healers, work with disease, we know there's a difference in the feeling. Some of us who see know there's a difference in the appearance mm-hmm. of this field.
And the smell, I always smell it.
Oh, you can smell it, yeah.
Yeah.
Some people taste it.
Mm-hmm. Or hear it, you can hear it.
Sure, sure. So it's unique. And I was the one that very back said, how'd it get so unique? I'm checking these people's fields, and I have an instrument called, it's no longer called the aura meter. It's called Bioenergy Fields Monitor. You like that one?
Yeah, I do, actually, yeah. Where do we get
it's
one
better
of those?
Because the aura meter has, you know, there's an aura wand. You just run around people. It doesn't tell you very much,
mm-hmm.
except it's big or little. It doesn't give you any specifics.
Hmm.
And the information I found when I got this instrument from NASA was that each one of us has a different pattern of energy.
This is the machine you got in the 60s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the original one. Now, I'm getting a new one, understand.
Okay.
I'm getting a new one. It should be available within a year.
Mm-hmm.
For people who want to train to use it, who want to see more specifically, because each one of us that sees and smells and hears and feels the field, do it through our field.
Mm-hmm.
And our field is individual. And some people get the best information one way, and some get the best information another way. And sometimes that information is a little screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's based upon us. I know healers that can heal pain. They sense pain. They feel pain. They understand pain. And when it comes to regeneration, they ain't worth a doggone.
They what?
Not worth a doggone. Because they cannot regenerate. Do you understand?
Yes, I can.
Or some healers that can take anesthesia out of a body very rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And others who can't do a thing about it, don't sense it. So it's very unique and very individual.
Where does that come from? From our yeah. thoughts and feelings?
I'll tell you right now.
Okay.
How'd you get it? A little fetus. And this is done, and this is well documented. The one I like the best is Verney, The Secret Life of the Unborn Child,
hmm.
where he went and studied for years. The fact that the fetus, when it starts to grow, is not a human. It's an organized growing tissue. But there's some time, generally not at conception, when the energy we call the soul enters that little fetus. And you know, mamas can tell it. There's something alive now about this little being that I'm carrying. And generally it's in the first trimester. Well, I say, souls are hanging around looking for a new body. You got it?
Yes, I mean.
And when they find one that they think is going to be compatible,
mm-hmm.
or that's going to help them in their evolution, they jump in. And
some don't come in till late, do they?
Some of them don't come in until late.
Yeah. Mm.
But once they come in now, they start transacting. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
They transact with the fields that surround them, so they transact with mama. They don't just interact with mama. They transact with mama. Now, if mama wants that little baby, and wants that little baby of the sex of that little baby, and is very excited about it, this little being now has a good transaction starting. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
If this little being comes in male and mama wanted a female, there's always trouble at that stage. It's not trouble that can't be changed, but the people who are working with prenatals are coming into great information here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get born. And yes, that's an experience. And some of us get born easy, and some of us get blasted, and some of us have to have a cesarean section. Because there's something wrong with the transaction that's taken place between the mama and the baby. And I don't say it's the mama, I don't say it's the baby, the transaction's not a good one. And
so the transaction is what fuses two consciousnesses, or, I mean, it creates a reaction in itself, right?
The transaction is a selection, you understand?
Okay.
It is a selection. Each, the mama and the child selected. And when they, when the transaction is a good transaction, they select same things. You like that?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, why would we select a bad transaction? That
why do we select them? Oh, I'm going to come to that. Why do we select bad ones? Because we think they're good, see?
Ah.
Now, and then we get born. And it's written in the literature so many times, so many places, that we are the result of our genetics. Do you realize that the new information is that 98% of our, what we call genetic, is experiential?
Wow.
The genetics, yes, are important to give us the basic background, to give us strength and tissue, to give us that kind of capacity. But what happens to it is experience. Now, here comes the big one. Here comes the big one. Here's this field. And this little infant now is separate from the mother. It can transact by itself. It has to have a lot of help. But it's transacting with the world. And what causes this field to get patterned? Primarily emotion. Ooh, big one. Listen, emotion.
Hmm.
Emotion patterns the field. We tend to go what's comfortable, and which therefore we call it good. Now, Veronica, as I read some of your history, and I know mine, we had to get rid of some of that comfort, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Because the comfort wasn't wrong, right? And we stay away from what we dislike. And we get stuck. So, with that in mind, now, I'm going to jump to what's my new research, and then I'll go back to aging, okay?
Okay.
My new research is probably the most anti-aging you can imagine. Everybody's interested in anti-aging, aren't they?
Right, that's true.
But they're looking at downstream things, not upstream things.
Hmm.
What is the primary thing that keeps us aging? It's called stress. Everybody agrees on that.
Right.
And then they define stress, which is very undefined. It said, you know, stress is how you live. That's pretty general.
Right.
Stress is what you eat. Yeah, to some extent. Stress.
It's reactive, isn't it?
What?
It's where we're reacting all over the place.
It's how we're reacting, but it's based upon emotions.
Right.
And let me tell you the primary stressors that we're finding now. Primary stressors of a human being is lack of oxygen and inflammation. Do you like that?
Yeah, I do, actually. It sounds fairly simple.
It's very simple. Now, when we're playing with all of these things, we do anti-stressing things, and we unload this and we unload that. We're downstream. We're not upstream saying, well, it's a big stress. But all humans, particularly humans in our culture, are stressed by it. The work is primarily, I have been down in Mexico studying with Dr. William Hitt of the Hitt Clinic, who I have seen the most remarkable things in medicine that I have ever seen in my life, where he is able to take nose smears. You know about the pap smear?
Yes, indeed.
Pap smear is a mucus smear from the vagina. Mm-hmm. And this tells us what kinds of bacteria, what kinds of problems that part of the body is having. Well, this man was a physician in Switzerland who came to America, and for 15 years he became a biochemist. Mm-hmm. And he was with the biochemist who started the pap smear. And he said, I wonder what a nose smear would do. And honey, he took nose smears, looked at them in telescopes, and he found viruses, bacteria, and protozoa. You like those?
Yeah, that's everything you would find in the vagina, right?
Yeah, only these are embedded. Embedded ones. And honey, what they do is eat up all your oxygen.
Ah.
So from birth down, we are these viruses are available, and doctors can find them when they're in the bloodstream. But once they get embedded, there's no test in the world other than this nose smear that can tell you if you have viruses. Do you like that one?
Yeah, I do, actually.
That's pretty fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about this, about these viruses is they embed. And where do they embed? The weakest tissue of the person.
Mm-hmm. And where our oxygen comes in.
Well, they embed there, and then they eat up all the oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we become oxygen starved. Early. Sometimes these are in the early 20s. And as we grow older, we get more oxygen starved because we have more viruses.
Hmm. And they don't all act out. They're just in there.
And what he does is fantastic. After he finds this virus, he takes ozone. Now, that's not oxygen. That's O3, not O2. And he takes blood out of the body, and he mixes it with a particular instrument so that the oxygen goes into the red blood cells. And in the red blood cells, they go to every single tissue in the body. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm. How does he put it in the body?
Well, he just takes a little syringe and he takes it out. Hmm. And then he runs it right through this instrument, puts it right back.
Hmm.
Got it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's your blood going out and getting refreshed with oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is done in Europe a great deal. But the problem in Europe, they don't mix it with the hemoglobin. They just stick it in the bloodstream. And that oxygen disintegrates very rapidly.
Hmm.
When you put it in the hemoglobin, it doesn't disintegrate.
That's why they take the blood and put it in there.
Doesn't disintegrate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing, when you start losing oxygen, I'll tell you what happens. You have a substance called nitric oxide. It's just nitrogen and oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
It's constantly in the bloodstream, and its function is to dilate wherever there's a lack of oxygen.
Okay.
So if you have a lack of oxygen in your tummy, it will dilate. If you have it in your heart, it will dilate it. If you have it in muscles, it will dilate it. Dilates it so it can get more oxygen there. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have enough oxygen to get there, it just keeps dilating,
mm-hmm.
and dilating and dilating until it brings in the very primitive immune system, and that is inflammation.
Hmm.
It happens in the brain when the nitric oxide gets so strong because it keeps building up and building up and building up. It activates the immune system, the deeper immune system, not the ones most doctors talk about. They talk about the T cells and so forth. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the refined ones. It's a big one. And do you realize that every disease that exists and every malfunction has inflammation as a source?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That big, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's huge. So is everybody, every doctor here beginning to do the O3 thing?
No. You don't know anything about it. But I have large research grants now, and I'm going with a consortium, which you will hear about if you follow my emails and my websites, in which we will be studying cancer. We'll be studying diabetes, Parkinson's syndrome. Parkinson's the same thing, you follow?
Mm-hmm.
Parkinson's, it's gotten so far that you put in plaque to protect yourself in the brain. Honey, we have the source of medical problems from the very first stress. We have to get rid of these stresses before any of the other things downstream happen.
So you're saying a shortage of oxygen is such a basic stress that we're all dealing
with? The basic stress.
Yeah. What about the hyperbaric chamber?
What about the hyperbaric chamber?
Well, would it help? My partner has one.
No. Hyperbaric chamber does not put oxygen and hemoglobin. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can do it is take it out and put it in. So we'll be doing it. I have money that's coming in to handle this research. People are being trained by Dr. Hitt to work with me. And I'm going to spread it all over. I'm going to take it to radio. I'm going to take it to television. Because this will change medicine. You hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
If you change the if you really change the concept in medicine and take it to the deeper level, then think what it does for those of us who are working in healing and consciousness,
mm-hmm.
teaching people to live better. If you've got a constant strain, you're always going to be under stress. Do you follow?
Right, you bet. You bet.
So...
Well, can I jump around a minute? Because a while back you said something about, want to talk about the mind. And
yeah.
I'm conscious of this, that as healers, we work with the mind that isn't actually physical, right? The intelligence.
Oh, yeah. Honey, the mind is in the field.
Okay.
The mind is not in the brain.
Right.
And I call the field the mind field.
Oh, good.
Got it?
Yeah, I do.
Mind field. Done that. I have, let me tell you how I found it out. Is because I kept putting new kinds of experiences into people's lives at the same time I was testing them. And you know, the field happened first. The brain was way downstream before it ever got the information.
It's a recording device.
It's a recording device. It's a darn good one. Then it gets programmed, and it works automatically. You understand?
Right.
The problem is in the field. Such things as insight, imagination, creativity, emotion, that's in the field.
Right.
You're sitting right out there in your field, and that's your mind.
That's where your intentions are, right?
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's where the will is, too.
Hmm.
If you want to will something to happen, you have to use energy, and you have to use emotion.
It's all about willing the use of oxygen in the body and the hemoglobin.
Well... You can will the use of oxygen, and it will help some. It's a very good idea to help people to will, and I'll talk more about that, not just to will oxygen, but to will energy, okay?
Yeah.
And the energy will come to that area, but it does not handle embedded viruses.
Okay.
You with me?
Yep.
Gotta go there. So...
Do you think that the embedded viruses have a lot to do with our cancer, the number of cancer situations around the world?
They're the cause of it.
Yeah.
That's why it gets more.
Mm-hmm.
I've been down in Dr. Hitt's for many times. I got rid of my viruses in my mind. Got it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of them. But I responded real fast. He got those ozone coming to me, and I was kicking viruses better than anything.
Hmm.
Did you know Lyme disease is spirochete that goes embedded?
Mm-hmm.
The reason we haven't been able to handle it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Well, so, we should be able to handle it energetically, shouldn't we? The embedded viruses and...
We can't handle them, embedded viruses, honey. We can't get at them.
Oh, really?
They're just too embedded. Now, once you start the process, you can then assist it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Assist it. But you have to get oxygen in there to get rid of the viruses.
Okay.
Because they live on oxygen, and they are destroyed by oxygen.
Have you felt a tremendous rejuvenation since you did that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people don't even know me. They say I'm getting younger and younger and younger and younger. In fact, I had a major heart attack when I was 88.
Hmm.
And I had a 4 bypass. And they were afraid to do a 4 bypass because I was too old. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't going to live. Oh, I lived dandy. But when I got through with it, they overdrugged me.
Oh.
Because they thought everybody had to be drugged the same. And I'm sensitive. I don't need drugs. But it was when I found Dr. Hitt that he said to me, and he didn't know me, he said, "You've had a major heart attack." And I said, "Yeah." And they didn't find any cholesterol. They didn't find any problem with the heart except inflammation.
Hmm.
And he said, "That's the problem."
It's the inflammation.
The inflammation.
Hmm. So you inflammation had the four bypass?
Causes destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Causes destruction of cancer. I've seen people who have gone to his institute who came in not only in wheelchairs but lying on stretchers, where they had brought in the hospices, sent them home from the hospital to die, and I've seen them a month or so later. They're up jumping around.
Hmm.
Got rid of the source. The body could start healing itself. Do you like this?
I really love it, yes.
And one of the major problems that he's had is the people who have had chemo and radiation. The tissue is so destroyed that he can get them over the cancer, but he can't make them healthy.
Hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's pretty excruciating.
So we will be studying cancer. We'll be studying all kinds of disease phenomena. And we will see on individuals, by checking their energy field, what changes occur.
So we can keep abreast of your research by checking.
You got to keep abreast of my research, sweetie.
It's bioenergyfields.org.
Bioenergyfields.org is my website.
I just want to throw one thing in, Dr. Hunt. I know in the 30s they used to do hyperbaric chambers in huge rooms and people would be cured of cancer and so on.
Well, I doubt that they were cured.
I mean, it would just return?
Oh, yeah, it would return.
Okay.
Now, there's a difference between getting rid of the symptoms of cancer and getting rid of a cancer field.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah. Got it.
Cancer field. Mm-hmm. The cancer field is a cancer field until you get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
You get rid of the cancer field, honey, it will never return.
Tell me this. Can you see people's vibrational reality? Can you?
Well, I can, but I don't do that. I'm a scientist.
Okay.
I go use my instrument. You got it? I go use my instrument. And let me tell you about what I find. I find patterns of energy disturbance.
Okay.
One of the problems we have in people who say, "I want to go up in consciousness," is that's one of the bad things to say. You should say, "I want to extend my consciousness."
But you want to include your lower...
You have to include the lower or you're going to get cancer.
Okay.
When I find a field that's very high, mm-hmm. is anticoherent, and the lower vibrations that have to do with tissue health, you know, good old red, good old... low-down stuff. That's what keeps tissue healthy.
Hmm.
And cancer people have unhealthy tissue.
Mm-hmm.
They're up there flying around in the sky. What they've got, they can't bring back and do much with, I'll tell you.
Well, sometimes it's my experience that they're very angry or suppressed.
Well, that's what sent them there.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah.
Absolutely right. What sent them there and the way of handling it is they didn't handle their anger or their depression.
Mm-hmm.
Depression is merely anger on me,
mm-hmm.
and goes in. And yes, they are. But they have a field that is very high, has a little bit in the middle, and doesn't have anything in the lower frequencies.
Hmm.
Now, let me tell you about this. The people who have lower frequencies, but not much high frequencies, are the butches.
Hmm.
They're the ones that beat up, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
They can live forever. They can live on, if there's an automobile, if there's a shipwreck, the guy that's going to live is the butch.
Okay.
He's got enough energy, you understand?
Yeah.
Tissue energy. Mm-hmm. Then there's a middle group, which are most people, who are problem solvers. And their whole life is spent solving problems.
Mm-hmm.
Not very high problems, just ordinary problems. And then as we go up in vibrations, we come into the spiritual. And when you reach a certain level of vibration, you are spiritual, whether you're an agnostic or an atheist. Did you know this?
Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
I have been with these people, took them into that level of consciousness. They get so upset because they defied their spirituality. And spirituality, when we reach a certain level and we're aware of it, we will have divine experiences. It's built into the human being. It isn't something outside of you. It's divine. You bring it in. And then we come to the higher states of consciousness, where most people kind of fly around and escape. The best place to go to escape emotions is in an altered state.
Mm-hmm.
In an altered state, you cover up your emotions. Now, how I go after emotions is take people in an altered state and start them imaging.
Okay.
And they'll run right into them. When they run right into them, they also have the experience of where they happened.
Hmm.
Now, you and I had to do it the hard way. You understand that?
We sure did, didn't we?
Huh?
Did a good job.
We did both did a good job, but wouldn't it be nice if we had done it a little simpler?
Yes.
We had some more information to do it simpler.
Not so sticky. Mm-hmm.
So, what's happened here is in this mind field, which radiates from the body and also transacts with all the fields on the outside of the body, it hangs out around the body, and then sometimes it hangs out 4 or 5 feet. It can fill a whole room. Other times it gets real small and real narrow. But we want a dynamic one. We want one that can be big when we need it, small when we don't need it, and can go in between. We want a field that can have low frequencies, middle frequencies, and high frequencies. And we can play it like a symphony.
Hmm.
Like that one?
Mm-hmm, I do. Mm-hmm.
We ain't stuck nowhere. We're not stuck anywhere. Only way to solve an ordinary problem is go above the problem and see what the problem really is. Because as we define the problem, that's not what the problem is. The problem is less. Oh, our time's running, isn't it?
Sure is.
Well, let me talk about aging. All
okay,
right?
Please. Oh, and I just want to ask you one thing. Is our personality, is our personal field is by selection and by choice, but it really is also radiant of our personality and our soul journey, isn't it?
No, it is our personality and our soul journey.
Our soul journey, uh-huh.
Yep, that's what makes us.
Some of it arrives even in the womb, doesn't it?
Well, it arrives as soon as the
spirit,
as soon as the life spark comes in.
Yes.
That's when the personality is there, because what does that spark bring in? Past life experience.
Right.
Got it?
Yes, wonderful.
It brings in past life experience. We had to go back and find ours. All right. What is aging?
Yeah.
Well, everything that occupies space, honey,
mm-hmm.
disintegrates. Because it's made up of atoms, and the atoms spin around, and they go from the healthiest, most mature state downhill. Except. This is called entropy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all downhill from birth. Things disintegrate. This is true of all mass.
Mm-hmm.
But living things that are not as dense as rocks and boards, if we feed them compatible energy, they improve and don't age. Do you like that?
I love that.
Feed them compatible energy.
So that's the process of selection again.
It's a process of changing our field, so we select.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Right, so we're not victims.
Yep, we're not victims. And we can do it by feeding that field. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about feeding the field. You want to hear about feeding the field?
I sure do.
Okay.
There should be feedlots out there for us.
Number one, we have to realize that we are responsible for that field. Did you hear what I said?
Yep.
We say the culture did it to me. No. The culture was there, and I bought it.
Right.
Now, when I'm a youngster, I don't have as many choices. But as I grow, I have more choices. Think of the mores, the sexual mores, 50 years ago.
Yeah, they were pretty restrictive.
They were very restricted. They were too restricted.
Mm-hmm.
And so culture changed. Now, I'm not advocating where it is right now, but because much of it is defiant rather than good. But we have to expand our restricted field.
Mm-hmm.
How do we expand it? I'm going to give you simple things. Most of us like to do the things we like to do.
Mm-hmm.
When we keep doing only the things we like to do, we do not expand our field. I say, when did you try something new? I know some people that never try something new.
Hmm.
And I ask people, when did you think something new? Think about all the things you really believe firmly and ask, what's the opposite end of that? Sure, it makes us more tolerant. And then create. We create from our field of what we take in, how we store it, and how we reorganize it. Most people don't live creatively.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
They have a creation. Mm-hmm. And they do a creative thing here and a creative thing there. I live creatively. When people say to me, your home is creative, your clothes are creative, your environment is creative, and I said, I don't think in uncreative things. So,
You're feeding your field, aren't you?
I'm feeding my field new information and new fields.
Hmm.
So start redecorating. My home is full of color.
Great.
Color is energy. And I want all kinds of color. I don't want just one color.
Mm-hmm.
And as I dress, yes, certain colors are more becoming to me in a sense. But they're only becoming to my skin and my hair, not to my field.
Hmm.
My field is bright. I can wear anything.
Hmm.
You like that one?
Yeah, I do.
And the more you change your field, the brighter it becomes.
Hmm.
Okay? Get new friends. Well, I'm shaking up these old paradigms that say, well, it's the way I am. It ain't the way you am. It's the way you chose to be.
Right.
Your new friends. Did you ever give up old ones because you're tired of them?
Sure.
You should.
Yeah.
When you grow, you should give them up and learn to heal yourself. Now, to heal yourself means if you go to a healer, ask the healer to teach you to experience your energy. Generally, we go to a healer and say, kill me.
You do the work. I'll pay you the money.
Yeah, and then learn how to do the scalar wave. Do you know the scalar wave?
You know, I was just reading. You've got. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, I will probably tell you right now because it's the most important thing,
okay,
self-healing, that a person can do to get energy. And it can come from thought. You don't have to have a piece of equipment. You don't have to be in a special place.
Mm-hmm.
You can run a scalar wave when you're waiting for a traffic light to change.
Excellent.
You like that one?
I do. That's my favorite.
Okay. Now imagine this. A scalar wave is called a standing wave, which means it has energy, a lot of energy. It's not going anywhere, but it's there. And you have to tell it where to go. Do you like that one?
Yes, I do.
All right. Now, I want you to think about this. Put your hands out.
Okay.
Right out from the body, wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine that energy is coming through both hands into your body.
Okay.
Same kind of energy. And if you can't think of energy, think of a color. Bring a color through.
Okay.
You want a high color, bring a blue or a purple. You want a low color, bring a red or an orange. Don't make a difference. Because the scalar ain't going to pay no attention to what you brought in. It's going to pay attention to the standing energy.
I've got yellow and green.
Well, you got to have yellow and green on both hands.
I do.
All right. Yellow and green on both hands, you can do that.
Okay.
Because that's transition. and bring it in as you take a breath. You bring the energy in through your hands into your middle. And as you exhale, you go out and get some more. Don't get rid of it. Just leave that energy in there. And you know, pretty soon, Veronica, you think you're full. Now, you're not full of oxygen. You're full of energy. You follow?
Yep.
And then you start pulling it in, stop pulling it in, and you tell it what to do. And what you do is you say, if you got a pain, go to that pain and bring energy to that tissue, and it will relax it if it's too tense. It will energize it if it's too weak, because that standing energy does nothing but expand.
Hmm.
It doesn't go somewhere. It expands.
Hmm.
You tell it where to go and tell it what to do. If you have cancer, use the scalar. But don't tell a scalar to cure your cancer, because it won't do it. Tell a scalar to give you energy so that your body can heal.
Okay.
Got the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when you start doing that, honey, it's going to be phenomenal.
Hmm.
Now, you need physical exercise, but most people do the wrong physical exercise. They do what's comfortable. And you are three body types, if you know about the Ayurveda, the Vata, the Pitta, and the Kapha.
Mm-hmm. Little bit, I know. Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have to. If you're tall and skinny and you're very nervous, you need relaxation exercise for your field. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
You're hypertense, and you have to calm that down. If you're the mesomorph or the Pitta, you're dominated by bone and muscle, not nervous system.
Hmm.
You're the one that's going to get arthritis and pains and joints.
Hmm.
And you need exercise for circulation. Circulation exercises. Not big, strong, heavy things, but walking and moving and moving and moving. And then the Kapha, or the endocrine area people, who get fat as they get older, they get paunchy, they don't have enough energy. They're the ones that have to do strong exercises.
Hmm. They're the aerobic people.
And then the last one, probably the only one I have time to do anything about, get acquainted with your emotions, honey.
Okay.
Get acquainted. And how do you get acquainted? You ask yourself some simple questions. What makes you emotional? Well, everybody knows what they know, but what makes you emotional? And where did it come from? Is it accentuated? Or is it just enough? Or is it strange? And then ask yourself what you're going to do about it.
Hmm.
Well, I've written a book called Uncork Your Emotions.
And you said it's coming out in 6 weeks, but we're going to find out about it on your website, right?
You'll find out about it on my website.
Mm-hmm.
And the early people who ordered, I'll give you a signed copy.
Wonderful. And we're going to be hooked off stage here, Dr. Hunt.
You're going to be what?
We're going to be pulled off stage. Our time is up.
No, I shouted.
All right. So, well, many blessings, and thank you ever so much for being on. I've so enjoyed this and learned a lot.
Thank you, my dear.
And we'll tune into bioenergyfields.org and check with your latest progress in Dr. Hitz.
Good talking to you, Veronica.
Wonderful talking
love
to you.
Love what you're doing, and I love you.
Thank you.
Because
so much.
Of your evolution.
Thank you, darling. Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
This was Veronica Entwistle, and that was our wonderful paradigm shifter, teaching us so much about not only aging, about dealing with illness and raising our frequency in our fields. And I've so enjoyed talking to you and talking to Dr. Hunt and doing some groundbreaking work with her. Many blessings and much love. We'll see you next week.